Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
An Insecure podcast on post-show recap? No worries. We got y'all. Insecure Season 5, Episode 4, Faulty, okay? It's over. But we're just getting started here on Post Show Recaps. It's me, Chappelle. I'm taking over the hosting duties this week for our fearless leader, LaTanya Stark. She's going to take a break. But, you know, we're still going to push through and talk about this very fun episode of Insecure. As usual, we have, you know, the best, Mari Forth. How are you, Mari?
Hi, I'm good. You know, missing the fearless leader, but she'll be back when she can. But I must say, I think this was the right episode for her to skip. So I'm kind of jealous of her right now. I kind of am. I was not a fan of this episode, but you know, we'll get into it.
Okay, yeah, and we'll talk about that. But because LaTanya's not here with us, we are so blessed and so lucky to have the one, the only, Asia Welsh. Asia, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. And I'm so glad to be here with two GHBs, you know, great host boy.
Boy.
Boy. I it's funny you say that, Mari, because this was in the running for like top two, at least, favorite episode so far this season.
Interesting.
So I'm really interested to see, you know, why you thought that, because I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Really? I thought this was like that skippable Game of Thrones episode, like one of the Game of Thrones episodes where they're still in the same place by the end of the episode. So.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I can enjoy a good one day episode, you know, because, hey, we already get these short episodes. So it's like, okay, if it's going to happen in one day, at least we'll get, you know, some stuff.
Yeah, like a real time episode almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the pacing and all that.
And that's a really good point. Many of these episodes have been like a flashback to this, a flash forward to this, but this episode kind of just took place as it took place. And I'm dying to jump in and talk about it. But first, we have to know, Asia, tell us, what's your background with this show? What brought you here to talk to? I mean, don't get me wrong. Any chance you get to podcast with Mari, you can't pass it up. But like, what brings you to talk to us about Insecure this time?
Oh, well, okay. So I love Insecure. But mainly I love Issa Rae. So I, you know, like similar to Mari, goes back to like the awkward black girl days. I was there when she came to the University of Texas at Austin on her awkward black girl tour. Me and my sorority sisters have a picture with her.
Yep, we synced it. I synced
yes,
it.
We did.
Yes.
Jealous.
and so like goes way back. Like at that point, Issa was like friendable on Facebook. So I became her friend. We had like our 6-year friendiversary. Yeah. And I like tweeted and was like, oh my gosh, girl, we've been friends for 6 years. And she liked it. That made my day.
That's hilarious.
If I could get a like, that's good enough. But yeah, when I found out she was coming out with Insecure, I was so happy. So I just been there along the way. Loved every season. The good and the bad, all 30 minutes of it, you know, every season. But, you know, I'm sad this is the last season, but all good things must come to an end. So I'm just glad that y'all are podcasting about it and that I could join you.
Yeah. Of course. And how about overall feelings about this season so far?
Yeah. So I think it's interesting because it's their opportunity to close the loop on a lot of things. And so I'm really, you know, last season, honestly, I thought was going to be the end of it for Nathan. So the fact that we are learning even more about him and digging deeper into that storyline took me by surprise. So I was glad to see that. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of went into the season with not low expectations, but no expectations so that I could thoroughly enjoy it. Cause I didn't want to like, oh, I hope, you know, her and Lawrence last forever. Cause then I knew I would be disappointed. So, and so I'm just taking every episode as it comes. I loved the last episode. I was just like, I mean, because it made me feel things, you know, anger. I don't know if there was too much happiness, but the last episode was just like, you could talk to your friends about it. Like, it was that type of episode. Like, oh my gosh, girl, did you see last episode? So I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I'm really interested to see where they go, especially with all these time jumps. Like, are we going to end up in like a, they're older and more people have kids? And so I'm really looking forward to see like how they tie it all up.
Okay, yeah. And to be clear, your team Lawrence and Issa together, Larissa, is that what you're doing? Because I think that's what Mari calls on the spectrum of the relationship, right?
We'll see.
So, okay, look, I'm team Issa's happiness. Okay, I had come to the realization around maybe season 3 that Lawrence is not the guy. Maybe he's not the guy for her, right? Maybe I like Lawrence early on, but I'm like, he ain't the guy right now, right? And so whoever does make Issa happy, that's what makes me happy. So I'm just team Issa.
And I think I'm with Asia, but I think now, like, especially I think the last few episodes, I think I'm now team Issa needs to be by herself at the end of this. Because I think like true, like growth of the characters might lean towards Molly and like a successful relationship and Issa being comfortable being alone, because it seems to be a pattern that she is not too comfortable being alone. So I wonder if that's something we could be marching towards, but I agree. I'm team Issa's happiness as well. but I think that's why this episode, I wasn't connecting with it as much as last week with Lawrence and Condola's episode, because I thought that was just such a powerful episode to come off of to this frolicking episode here. So we'll see.
That's how I saw it as like a little palate cleanser off of last week. Like I laughed so much during this episode. Like there were just so many moments. Kelly was at, you know, her prime. Mm-hmm. I mean, Issa with her awkwardness was killing me. like, oh, it's a good 74 degrees. Maybe it's 81. Maybe 81. What do you think? What do you think it is?
What do you think it is? How'd that feel? No, Asia, I totally agree. This was a fun episode, but I understand what Mari is talking about. And yeah, we got to get into all the jokes, the laughter, and some of the, you know, questionable moments as well. But before we go to our break, Asia, I have to say this. You know, when we're talking about the season so far, you are a member of something that really came up in conversation this season. your sorority was a hot topic this season on Insecure. Yes. Please weigh in on the Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated drama that Issa Rae has started and for a minute had the internet all abuzz about.
Yeah. So when I was watching the episode, I did not have an immediate reaction to it. Because, yes, we have known that Molly and Tiffany are AKAs. We've seen it all throughout, right? But then, you know, what people took issue with were them actually wearing, or Tiffany's actually wearing the letters. And that initial anger that, like, bled over into Monday, that was all just like, oh, how could she? She didn't work for it. She didn't do this. She didn't do that. Me understanding she's a character, right? But then once corporate comes in and has the standpoint of branding, okay, I can understand that. Like there's a level of permission to at least go to that level. Because we see that. I mean, we've seen that for years. Different world. Like we've seen that constantly of Greek letters or Greek organizations being displayed on television. So I think it was just a matter of permission. So I don't know where it is present day, but I personally did not take offense to this character of a show that I love, you know, wearing the letters for the purpose of the character, but I can see the legal issue of it.
Right. And then, but do you think, I know some people brought up, technically, they never showed not only the full letters, but they never showed the full shield either as well. Mm-hmm. So do you think maybe that's how they are escaping the legal portion? Because they gave you the colors mm-hmm. and then they gave you like an A and right. half a K.
Yeah.
So does that like exonerate them in that standpoint, you think?
I mean, maybe. You just maybe not care? Right. Maybe it does, but I think it ties to the fact that we know. It's not like they never have said anything and like, mm-hmm. oh, you draw your own conclusions. I think it's the fact that you can connect the dots of what yeah. the end, what the last letter is, like when yeah. you see her wearing the pink and green. Because if she had stuck to the pink and green, I doubt we would have heard a thing from anybody.
True.
So I wonder, I'm sure there's some type of legal thing that they can get them on. But I mean, I hope it's just a matter of like, yo, we're sorry. We didn't mean to not ask for permission and then move on.
Right. It sounds like a mistake was made, but hopefully we get to clear everything up.
Right.
And with that, we do have to toss it to our first ad break because, I mean, ultimately, we got to pay the bills. And so in just a moment, we'll be back to discuss the first half of this amazing episode. And so sit tight and we'll be back with you in just a second.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So, Asia. Now, this is a black beach party, it seems. Or at least a number of them all at the same time. Because who would have thought we are a monolith? I've heard it differently, but yeah. apparently we all go to the beach at the same time. What did y'all think about these opening scenes? I mean, we get all these beautiful people on the beach, but, you know, I'm in landlocked Texas right now. Like, I'm nowhere near the ocean. Haven't been for a while. But were y'all happy to see us take a different location into consideration here on Insecure? Because normally we're kind of like in the city limits of LA. Right. Or, you know, we've ventured out a couple times on vacation, but this is the longest we've been on the beach. Asia, what did you think about this as a location for this episode?
Oh, I loved it. I love seeing their melanin just glisten in the sun. So I was like, you know, we were getting those shots of like the intro of some of Nathan's friends. And I was just like, okay. But one of them like legit looked like Kid Cudi. Like it was Arik. That first shot of him that like went from his abs up to his face. I legit thought it was Kid Cudi. And I was like, okay, no, it's not. But I really liked seeing them out here in this setting, just having fun. It seemed carefree, you know, before we get into, you know, the earthquake of it all. But it was nice seeing them like, okay, we're about to just let loose, have a good time.
Yeah. And it's so funny that like me being an East Coaster, like it just goes to show you that I saw a beach. I was like, oh, it looks like they're going to be on vacation.
Because they don't got that here.
Yeah, exactly. You forget that they live in LA and they can go to a beach at any point, at any time. So, yeah, I thought that was really hilarious. But I did have to spend like a good few minutes of the first episode being like, what's happening here? Like, was this Nathan's like 1 year anniversary party that they had been working on? I guess it was.
I think it was because they had the barbershop name up, and then I remember they were looking for a different location because they didn't want to do it at the shop because it wasn't enough space. And it was like, right. Hey, perfect, the beach, enough space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So it did take me a minute to realize like what was happening. And I was like, that makes way more sense than Issa's friends and Nathan's friends going on a mutual vacation. I don't know what I was thinking last week. Yeah. But it was cute. It was a cute moment. I loved Molly just checking out the Menzies.
Yes.
I think she's ready to get back on the horse, riding the saddle, whatever you say here.
Yeah, I mean, Asia recognizing Kid Cudi's abs aside, you know, Molly too was looking at the entire party is like, you know, what can she, you know, she wanted to give him where she can fit in. It seems like Mar said, she's back on the horse, but sounds like she hasn't been off of it for long. She met some guy on Bumble and they had a moment, and now she has sex very weird, and so she's trying to figure out how to figure that out. So Molly is going through, but a lot part of this episode is centered around Nathan. And so, you know, as we've seen in the past, Nathan and Issa have a complicated relationship. Last time we saw her and him together, she was crying in his mouth. And so this episode pretty much starts with Nathan and his boys out there. I think we meet a slew of characters. Mo,
yeah.
Arik, Risha's back, Johnny. So, yeah. So what did you think about these characters? Mari, how do you feel about these? We're getting thrown this brand new like group of people to learn about. What did you think about them?
Yeah, I mean, off the back, Mo was hilarious. I'm trying to look at what was the comedian's name. I cannot remember, but he was hilarious throughout this whole episode, like certified scene stealer. I thought with Arik and like Johnny, Nathan's friends, I was like, at first I was like, why is Molly? This seems like she could have like leveled up other than those two, but you know, it's whatever. loved Risha. So this was a fun cast for a very like fun, low key episode.
Yeah. And Arik is played by Curtis Hamilton. I think Ryan Davis plays Mo and Brandon Mitchell plays Johnny. And so, yeah, fun cast. Of course, I too love Risha. I mean, can't get enough of her. But Asia, what did you think about
that?
This group
Why
too?
Is that, Chappelle?
She seems like a good time, Asia. Dang.
The gold bikini.
You know? Yeah. She looks like fun. Yeah. Asia, what'd you think?
It was funny seeing Nathan in this kind of environment where he was kind of the one in the lead, because we've gotten this very casual Nathan throughout. And so like that beginning scene where he's like, all right, y'all, we got food coming. And I was like, you escalated that, not them. They weren't like, where's the food? But I thought it was very funny that you know, we saw the dynamic between Risha and Nathan and how it was just very awkward, because this is the first time that Issa is seeing him since their little mishap. And so I'm glad it was in like a group setting. I felt like this was kind of like that perfect environment to kind of like avoid what happened, even though Issa didn't manage to avoid that.
Oh yeah, Issa can make any situation awkward, and she does. She like wastes no time doing that here. And so yeah, when she pulls up, she sees Nathan and his boys and Risha, and they're putting on sunscreen, or at least Aveeno at the very least. You know, I love seeing Black people put on sunscreen, because we wrongly think we don't need it, and we definitely do. And so I'm happy they talked about that. We didn't want Nathan to turn red like a strawberry.
I died though. Like, it's hilarious. Like, literally, three grown men are just applying Aveeno because they think it's sunscreen. And then Reese has to come in to say, this is a regular Aveeno. What are you doing?
They were trying.
They were trying.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, this is Issa's chance to go and like kind of smooth things over after she cried her salty tears into Nathan's mouth the last time where they were together. And so I guess they've been talking for like a week, and they just have been dodging the conversation. And so she knows this is her chance. But in the meantime, it looks like Crenshaw is a problem. So from what I can tell, Issa saw a tweet from she posted a tweet from the Block, her business's account, and talking about her partnership with Nothing But Water, and it seems like a very successful moment for her. But Crenshaw is hating in the comments. He's doing like the emoji thinking face, like the eyeball emoji, like he giving her everything. Mari, what exactly is going on here? Were you able to put this together?
Yeah, I screenshotted all of the the Crenshaw stuff. So Issa tweeted from her business account, "The block is very proud to announce a 3-event partnership with Nothing But Water. We're very excited to be working with this amazing company." There is a typo in this.
I saw it too. It was we dash R or something.
I
was like, am I tripping? Can I read? Hey, oh my tweets God. Happen. That's real.
That's they true. Do.
That is
you
real.
You can't edit.
Yeah. Ain't no edit, buddy.
And so under that, Crenshaw hits the first sub-tweety, shady tweet that he sends in this episode is just the thinking emoji. And it really was, I was like, just thinking of this right here, like this first tweet here, I was like, dang, dog, like, calm down. Like, what is that? Like, it's not that serious. Okay, you left your emoji. Keep it pushing. And you know, I was really like, why are we doing this? Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, why are you upset? Everything went off without a hitch. Like, why?
Right.
Why
like, are we doing grow this? Up.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the last situation wasn't ideal. He did want to do something, and then Issa, you know, urged him not to do it. He ended up going with his own vision, and it looked like it everything turned out okay. So, Asia, what is his issue here? What's the problem?
He is just butthurt. He just doesn't want her to excel. Like, even though his event was a success, he's like, it's the principle of it. I don't like that she tried to deny that. So I'm going to make sure she doesn't exceed out here. And he sees, oh, they're partnering. So things must be going well for her. Let me stop that. Because if I have anything to do with it, she's not going to be great out in these streets. Rather than just minding his business and moving on.
Right. Especially since it's not like, at least in this first, just her announcing the partnership. Like, nowhere in there is she like, oh, yes, I made this deal because I'm the one who discovered Crenshaw. She wasn't even taking credit for him or anything like that in this post. You know, it does escalate down the line, but like, she was just minding her business and then he comes trying to rain on her parade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I couldn't tell if he was just wanting like, here's the attention you're seeking moments or right. Like, maybe I felt like she was maybe moving on without him, you know, because like their last partnership wasn't great. So now that she has this contract with Nothing But Water, I'm pretty sure she's done with Crenshaw. Like, I could not imagine her going back down that route. And I kind of picked that up from what Kelly was saying, where she was saying like, everybody wants to be successful on Etsy, but everybody not ready for fame. And so I'm thinking that she's kind of leaving him behind in the Etsy shop that he want to be in so that she can go deal with some more professional people and maybe he feels a way. But y'all definitely made good points.
Wasn't that his choice? Like, he seemed to not want to mess with her after the event.
Right. But I think he also is kind of thinking, oh, Issa is getting a little bit of credit for how successful I made the event. Like, he's thinking, I'm responsible. Right. Yeah, he's like, I'm responsible for that because she didn't want to even do that. But now she's getting these opportunities because of something I did.
Yeah, so, that's true. Whatever. I mean, yeah, because from his point of view, like, Issa, had we done it your way, it would have been inauthentic. It might have been a flop. But we did this my way and it turned out great. And so, yeah, you taking credit for the block has all of this, that and the other. But if it was up to you, you would have sold out and left us high and dry. And so maybe that's what Crenshaw is getting at. I don't like it. I'm rooting for Issa in this moment because I'm feeling like, you know, there's probably more professional ways to handle this, but this is Crenshaw. Professionalism isn't his strong suit. And Issa rightfully says she's not about to argue with someone who went to the Scared Straight for high school or whatever. So,
and like, Kelly was like, oh, I didn't know he went there too.
You know, Kelly got friends who've been down that route. But yeah, moving forward, we see Nathan's group again, and we learned that apparently it's hard to get into juicing because you can't juice meat. Who knew? Or whatever that means, right? I think that was a Mo quote.
But yep, it was.
The conversation between Nathan and Issa gets awkward instantly, which we know is that's kind of her bag. That's how she gets down. You know, she tries to give him credit as being the GHB, one of those great host boys. but Ultimately, she just spends that time trying to force conversation while Arik is pulling Kelly and Molly to the side so that he can, I guess, trying to work on Molly. So it's a lot of stuff going on in this episode simultaneously. Yes. And so, yeah, so it's kind of like if you're paying attention to one conversation, you might miss the other one.
Yes, but that's what I was just about to say.
Yeah. Oh, and so what did y'all think about the Arik, well, not the Arik, we'll come back to Arik, but what did y'all think about Issa and Nathan's initial conversation? Because she seems like she's trying to make inroads, but it does not look like he's okay with that.
Yeah, it was just awkward. Yeah. It was just like, Asia correctly pointed out, when you start talking about the weather, it's just kind of like, okay. Like, and then they basically ran away from each other. Like Nathan was like, oh, well, I'm gonna just go here. And he's like, well, I'm just gonna go here. Like it was a nothing burger of a conversation. Like
he dipped on her. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when you start the conversation out, like where he's like, oh, Issa, thanks for coming. Great. And you? Like she was already five sentences into their conversation before she walked up to him. So she was just so nervous, just ready to be awkward. And it was just like, just read the situation. Be cool. But we know Issa's not like that.
Right.
But yeah, that conversation they had where it was just like, you know, very like it was very clear that Nathan wasn't comfortable going there, like going deeper. Because Issa is just trying to check in, make sure they're still good, make sure they're still friends. Nothing's awkward. He's like, yeah, everything's good on my end. But it's like, we know that that's Nathan. We know he is not deeper than, or we know that he doesn't like to get deep. It's just no, I'm not going to go there. That's why I was very surprised we went so deep with him on this episode, which I was glad we finally got to see him open up a little bit. Cause that just shed so much light on who he is as a person.
Yeah, I agree. And Issa is confused, and so rightfully so. She goes over to Kelly and Molly. She's like, hey, he's being kind of weird. And Kelly's like, you know, his baseline is probably weird. Like, he just seems like a weird guy.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to gauge. Yeah. She's like, I don't know his baseline. He could just be weird. And I thought that was the draw. Like, I thought that's what you wanted. So they talk for a little bit. And we also see that Kelly is still on her journey for enlightenment. She's not drinking still. Yeah, Mari, what'd you think about our new Kelly? Because we've had two episodes with her like this at this point.
Yeah, Kelly... Yeah, Kelly's mentioned her enlightenment like a few times just in this like opening here. And then, you know, by the end of the episode, like it'll be a lot. So I don't know if maybe we want to come back to it, but there's been like a lot of internet speculation of where this enlightenment is going to lead her character. But I don't know if you want to talk about it now or later.
No. We can talk about it later because I know we're going to talk about a lot of the conversations Kelly's having in the background at some point. And so we can get to that in just a moment. On this part of the episode, I love that they move over to go play spades. Now, the guys are like, hey, it's time. We're at a beach. We're having a good time. We got the card tables. Let's play spades. And we find out, no one is shocked, Issa's character does not know how to play spades. And I have to ask, Asia... Do you play spades? Or are you a pity pat girl like Issa? What's going on?
You know what? I low-key feel like you assume that I don't know how to play spades.
I just ask it. I ain't making no assumptions. I just want to know.
I know how to play. I can play. Am I good at it? Do you want me on your team? Probably not.
Oh, no.
Can I get you... Mm-mm. Can I guarantee you like two books? Maybe, right?
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. Okay, cool. Mari, save us. Mari, tell me at the next live event, me and you running the spades table together because I can't count on Asia. What you got, Mari? Mari! Mari, you went to Howard. You don't play spades.
I do not play spades.
What?
I grew up around a family who played nothing but spades, and I basically avoided it like the plague because it turns people
it does.
Crazy. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay away from all of this. So I roughly know, but I have not. No, I cannot. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. Chappelle, I don't know who you can grab. Maybe we can see if Jason.
I gotta call Bryce. I don't know. Somebody grab me on the stage.
Because
oh my God.
I just won't. I can't. Okay. I can't do it. I refuse to do it. I am Issa here. I'm like, oh, okay, you want to teach? Oh, no. I don't even want to learn.
That was a, no. Okay. I bet you LaTanya knows how to play.
LaTanya, you're going to let me down. I know you listen to LaTanya. if you don't know how to play spades, just keep that to yourself. I don't want to perceive that for you. But okay, before we move on, though, dominoes. Y'all got me on the bones.
Oh, yeah, dominoes. I'm good with that.
I get the concept. Like,
Oh, man.
That was literally Mari, same thing. My family was a Domino's family growing up, and I was just like, I'd rather be doing something else. So I did learn how to take score, but it was more so, okay, put down 5, put down 10. I mean, you match up numbers, right?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
As simple as that, right?
Wow. So luckily for Kelly, it seems like her and Molly are doing way better than we're doing at the spades and dominoes tournaments. They busting ass. Like they out here winning. And it's clear, but they're also flirting. Cause we know Molly's not gonna stay out the game long. She likes to find her a guy. And so she's working on trying to decide, I guess, between it looks like Ark and Johnny have her attention at the same exact time. While all this is happening, though, Issa has her eyes on Risha and Nathan. And so it's looking very suggestive. But I have to ask, Mari, is this an accurate depiction of what's happening? Or is Issa just projecting her insecurities onto the situation? Because from her point of view, it looks like Nathan and Risha are getting it in on the beach, like in front of everybody with the sun out. What do you think, Mari?
Oh, it's clearly projection. Like it is. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was one of her like dream sequences or whatever. It just was too much. It was just too much. He was just like fixing her shoe, but she made it seem like so suggestive. And I honestly just love like how you already pointed out how at any one moment, there's like at least two conversations going on. So like when I rewatched the episode, I was like, oh, let me pay attention to this conversation now. And it's very, very funny, especially since while Issa is daydreaming about if Nathan and Risha are together, that they're talking about shoe sizes at the spades table.
Asia, what did you think about the shoe size conversation? Because I'm not even going to ask you if you can relate to Issa's like insecurities being projected onto someone else. But like when it comes back to the regular flirting, you know, you see Molly doing her thing of like, you know, the upfront flirting, but you see Kelly doing the like talking shit flirting. Two different versions of the same game going on. What did you think about all of this?
It was hilarious because I was like, okay, I know guys round up their height. I know it happens, but like shoes, if you're a 9, you're going to round up to a 10.
Do guys actually do that? You gotta leave room for your foot to grow. Look, I can't relate. I wear 11 and a half. Okay. So you don't have to do any rounding.
Okay.
I don't have to. And sometimes, look, if I can't get the shoe in my size, I'll go down to 11 if I need to. But you ain't never gonna hear me bragging about having a size 9 shoe.
Said it with his chest. I was like, what?
Yeah. Them Oshkosh Pagashas, that's what those are. The little baby feet. I can't relate. You wear size 9 as a man, your shoes probably light up.
I was in that thing. I was like, can we trade shoes? Like, what do you mean 9? Like, that is just so small.
That is hilarious, though. I like that method, though, because I feel like for me, it's easier to flirt that way. Like making fun, like if a guy tells me, oh, I'm 6 foot, I'm like, okay, so you're actually 5'10".
You know?
I confidently know he's 6 foot, you know?
Right. Meanwhile, my 6'1" heart is breaking. When I met Asia in real in person, she was like, I didn't think you were that tall. Excuse me? I'm towering over her. And now I need her to go on record and tell everybody that I am tall. Asia, let's do it.
I need you and Matt to like meet in real life. I want to know what'd you say?
I'm taller than Matt.
I don't know if you are. Chappelle is a lot taller than I had assumed. Mm-hmm. So yes.
Thank you. It's on
and
record.
And 6'1" is pretty tall.
6'1" and a half. So You know, so back to Issa and Nathan, you know, it just looks like jealousy, honestly, with the way she's looking at Risha and Nathan interact. Nathan just seems to look at Risha with admiration at this point. I mean, she's stripped down into her barest bikini and is running across the beach, bouncing everywhere as Issa is noticing. She's like, she might even float in the water with all of that. And so when Issa goes in to have this conversation with Nathan, he gives her the driest, yeah, and then just walks away. Like, this is the second time he pretty much has just left her hanging. They go on to talk about, like, the food for the function. But, like, in the midst of all this, Issa has not no answers. And before it could even get even more awkward, an earthquake happens. Now, my simple Texas brain never even perceived that a beach and an earthquake could happen at the same time. I know earthquakes happen in water sometimes, but I've never in my life, in any beach, ever thought, what if an earthquake happened? And for this to happen, I was in shock. Asia, can you relate to that?
Yeah, because I can't relate to an earthquake whatsoever. I mean, it's pretty similar to me moving to Houston and experiencing my first hurricane. Like, I literally, like, Hurricane Harvey, I could not wrap my head around. Like, the fact that, like, honestly, so I was in Hurricane Harvey and my apartment flooded like a foot of water, right? And so my dad was like, okay, I'll come down from Dallas to pick you up. And I was like, how are y'all going to come down? You don't have a boat. And I'm like completely forgetting, like, the water's only in Houston. Like, he can get as far as he can.
But Houston, right?
Yeah, in my mind, the world was underwater. Like, there was no dry land anywhere. So I totally understand with not being able to relate to an earthquake. Because honestly, I have no idea. Like, anytime it's on Big Brother, I'm like, how did that feel? I don't know. Are y'all okay? Did the building crack? I have no idea. So what, you know?
There's never been a... none of you have experienced an earthquake?
Mm-mm.
Nah. No, they have. They've had earthquakes in Texas. I will say that. Mm-hmm. I ain't never been in one. I've been in a bunch of hurricanes. I've spent a lot of my life in Houston, and I've seen them come and go. I've seen the water rise. I've seen the boats, but I ain't never seen no earthquake. Mari, is this normal in your neck of the woods?
It's not normal, but here in the D.C. area, we've had two major earthquakes in the past 12 years, I think it was. The one that happened in 2011, because I had graduated. So it was like the one that happened in 2011 was big enough that it cracked the Washington Monument, like the top of the needle. And like they just fixed that like a few years ago. And it was, and I remember, I was at home in Maryland around in my mom's house with, of course, a black mama had like glass everywhere, just like glass tchotchkes, glass table, just everything. And then everything just started shaking, like just clicking. And I was just like, woo, where am I going? I had to like run to the basement. I was on the phone. I can't remember, but it was just like, it was crazy. And it was only like a 4 or something for us here. And we were all like, oh my gosh, like everybody, cause it was from like, from North Carolina all the way up to like Jersey, it was felt or something like that.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, and we were all like shaken up, and then people on the West Coast were like, oh, it was only a 4. Like, y'all should be fine. We're used to getting like 6s and 7s, and we continue with our day. And that's basically what we saw here on this episode.
That's why Nathan was so caught off guard, because he's from Houston. He's like, what's happening?
He's one of us. Look.
Yeah.
And the other thing that came out of that moment was a tsunami? Really? So I was already like, okay, there's an earthquake. The world is ending. And they're like, okay, but now we got to evacuate the beach in case the tsunami happens. So this was a lot. And as they get ready to leave, we hear, of course, Risha and Kelly are now bonding because now they're talking about their near-death experiences. Risha's like, I almost died. And Kelly said, me too, girl. You know? So next thing you know, they are talking about that. And it looks like they are making fast friends of each other. before they end up leaving, though, Nathan makes sure that he yells out to the entire crowd at the beach, you know, like, hey, come back to the bar. We'll have drinks on the barbershop. And that's when we start to transition away from the beach into the Ubers and some of the talking that's going on in the cars between the men and the women.
I thought it was funny how when he yelled out, he was like, y'all, y'all, y'all. I'm like, I say y'all, like that's my, yeah. that's part of my vocabulary. But I don't know if I'd be yelling y'all like that. Like it feels... You would.
I can't turn it off.
Right. I know he's from Houston, but I was like, is that natural?
Yeah.
I say y'all all the time. So
it's the correct term.
But I also want to point out before we go into like some of these very interesting car rides, I really think that this harkened back to season 1, episode 1 a little bit. And the flow of it. Because like we start at one location and then they're like, oh, cool. Yeah. Let's go to the next one. Okay. Like, and then I loved Molly and Issa checking in with each other. Like, Issa, like, you know, they're about to roll to the next spot. We don't got to go. And Molly is like, well, you know, I'm still kind of trying to decide with these, between these two guys. And Issa being like, okay, yeah, then let's go. Like, it's almost like the mirror opposite of what we saw in season 1, episode 1, where Issa was pretending to take Molly out, you know, to the club for her sake when she really wanted to see Daniel and then she wanted to keep rolling. And Molly was like, I want to go home. You know what I'm saying? Like, and how we got their first like glimpse into the fracture of their friendship. So here throughout this episode, there's so many little small stuff between the two of them that I'm like, oh my God, like this is just making my heart like sing. Yeah. They are finally like on the same page again. I forgot what this felt.
It's been a while. I will say
this just gave me so many it reminded me how much I love their friendship and how glad I am that they're back to this place where it's not, you know, like we would have seen last season that Issa was just been like, okay, well you go, I'm done, right? I'm gonna go home. But I'm so glad they're back to this point where it's like, you know, you how you said you think, you know, at the end of this, you think it would be nice to see Issa alone. I do ultimately think that the main relationship here is Issa and Molly and how strong their friendship is and how they support each other through all the guys that come and go. And so I think if she does end up alone, she's going to have a solid, I don't think they would ever end it where Molly and her are not on a great page.
I hope not.
And I think we deserve to see them on the same page, you know, like whether Issa ends up alone or not. I mean, at least she got Molly, you know, and I think that's the ultimate story as well. The ultimate relationship, at least we should be looking at toward our story. But we know Molly does not want to end up alone.
Yeah.
She's trying to figure out which one of these guys are going to see her naked neck, whether it's whether it is Johnny. What'd she say? They're neck and neck to see her naked.
Bars.
But yeah, so, you know, that's what she's got going on. And the guys are talking about the girls on the way to the bar. So basically, Arik is saying like, hey, Nathan, wouldn't it be cool if I started dating your girl's girl, you know? And that's when we find out that Nathan is not sure about what Issa even wants from him. He says, it's not his girl. She's all over the place. She invited him over to cuddle, like someone died or something. So So Nathan is saddened because it seems like he's in the friend zone. And there's some conversation about, you know, what is appropriate when you are in the friend zone and what you shouldn't be doing and how Issa showed up looking like looking good with her legs all up. Talking about, are we still friends? Should we be friends? And so it's a lot of conversation going on about what it means to be in the friend zone and what, you know, what lines are being crossed by Nathan and Issa. So Mari, what did you think about this conversation and what the guys are, well, what guy talk really is? Because I get a lot of questions like, what do we talk about?
That's what I was just about to say. I was like, I was kind of about to ask you, is this what y'all be talking about?
Sometimes you gotta ask your boy. You'll be like, hey, she came over and then a weird thing happened and then it's been weird ever since. Am I tripping? And they be like, nah, she tripping. And be like, yeah. And so that's normally how it goes.
The friend zone conversation is just so, it's always feels like a touchy subject because there's always internet think pieces like, oh, women put the nice guys in the friend zone can men and women be platonic friends? Because the man is always just ready to pounce. Like it's just always one of those topics that is always going to invite discussion. And I mean, I think what we got from this, maybe not in great terms from the men themselves, but I mean, at the very core of it, they're basically just saying, well, what Nathan came away with it was she doesn't know she wants. So, and because she doesn't know what she wants, we are in this gray area because she doesn't know what she wants because I'm just chilling. You know, there's a miscommunication and we don't know what we want. So, and then his boy didn't have to go in about the friend zone. He's like, Mo's like, oh, he friend zoned you. It's not right. She friend zoned you. It's not right. So why do they always do that? Like, it was weird, but I mean, I get it.
One of the cool things that I did take away from this conversation was that they said, I forget which friend it was, but it said like, hey, you let her friend zone you. You know, like you invited yourself to be the shoulder that she cries on, or at least the mouth she cries in. And so you can't complain when she does that. And I think Nathan starts to look at his role in that moment as well. You know, like he knew him and Issa weren't in a good spot to be like friends with benefits. He knew that she was having a hard time. She asked him to stay tonight. He knew her expectations and he had his own expectations and they didn't align. So he's not without fault there. Asia, did you have any thoughts about this as well?
Yes, definitely. And I know y'all have rewatched the seasons more recently than I have. So was this the first time we've seen Nathan's side of it? Like an unbiased, like not him talking to Molly, but just completely unrelated. Okay. Because I thought that was really cool because I was like, we're getting a peek behind the curtain because we have not seen Nathan's thoughts. And I loved how he was saying, she show up, legs all out, oiled up, talking about, we still friends. I thought that was, I literally laughed out loud because I was just like, okay, yes. Okay. He is attracted to her, but then he's just getting so many mixed signals. So it was like, okay, I'm glad we're getting something beyond, oh, we cool. You know, I'm fine. It's like, oh, there are feelings there. Like you feel bothered that y'all are in such this like weird place. That's why talking is such a slippery slope, man. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just a generation of people that love to talk. Like, if we're not in a relationship, let's just talk because that leaves things all, you don't know,
open and willy-nilly.
Yeah, open, no expectations. You can't fault the other person. You can't feel guilty because, hey, we're just talking. We're not in a relationship.
Yeah, what's the problem? I don't hear any. What's the issue? Is there an issue?
It's terrible. It is terrible. Like one party.
He's wrong. He's wrong for showing up looking that good, trying to be friends. Go away. Go away from me. You know you look good, girl. Go on somewhere. Why you oiling up if you want to have a friend conversation? Put your pants on, damn it. So, you know.
I loved her outfit, though. Yeah, that orange hair was beautiful.
They all was looking good. Say, everybody was looking good.
Hey, rainbow girl, throw it back.
Yeah, the rainbow outfit. She got hit right in the face with that beach ball ice cream. Yeah. But yeah, so no, that's a really good point, Asia. And then, you know, because we don't really get a lot of the like side characters' point of view a lot of times. Like, I mean, you would say that like even the Kelly content we've gotten has been limited over years. And so for us to get Nathan's point of view, thank you for that.
Yes.
Yeah, and then of course, while Issa, Kelly, and Molly and Reese are on their way to the bar, this is when we have another side conversation, like a dual conversation going on.
Yes.
On the one hand, you have Risha, who apparently minored in philosophy.
Yes.
Who is ready to have a life conversation with Kelly, and she's speaking Kelly's language. And in the front seat, you have Issa seeing the drama with Crenshaw take place on Twitter. She sees a tweet, another tweet. Mari, do you have that information for us?
Yes, I do. So the second tweet that we see from Crenshaw is directly under, it looks like it's still commenting on the same post at the very least. But anyways, he says, Issa fraud, y'all don't be fooled. All skin folk ain't kinfolk. So it was a little play on words with her name there. This is like fighting words, man. This is fighting words.
He basically called her a race traitor. All skin folk ain't kin folk. And that's like, oh, damn. So you want to go there? You want to talk about mamas? You know,
yes.
Right. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, this was tough because you could see Issa trying to be the bigger person, and it just like it's really driving her crazy there. He's still cutting up. But in the background, you got to hear the Molly and Risha conversation. So did you take anything away from like this discussion of it seems like mortality and the journey of life? What is Kelly going through? What are we talking about here, Asia?
So even on the second watch, I couldn't fully grasp because, OK, you have the text on the screen. Then I'm trying to also ignore the Uber driver.
Oh, who's my on his own. conspiracy theories.
Like, okay, that earthquake didn't actually happen. It's the government testing out some
stuff. That was a kill switch. Dang, so get like, off his back.
He needs to shush, right? But then I'm like trying to read too. Yep. So, and I already knew what I was preparing for on the rewatch for Molly when she talks to Risha. So I was just like, I totally did still to this moment didn't fully grasp Risha and Kelly's conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I definitely did because I didn't even realize it. Like I completely missed it on the first watch, like watching it live. And then as I was doing the rewatch and I was like taking notes as I was like watching, I heard it more because I was kind of like typing. I was like, wait a minute. There's like a whole conversation here. And Kelly tells, Risha about her podcast, the Preguntas podcast, asking her if she wants to come on. And then Risha's like, well, yeah, I love uncovering stuff because I have my own philosophy. And that's when they start talking like really deep. And then she's like, and Kelly said, do you journal? She's like, yeah, I journal. And they were having a full blown conversation. And, I saw on Twitter, somebody said, you know, when you're out with a group of people, it's always those one friends that are off to the side having the deepest conversation.
In the middle of the turn going in.
You always turn around. There's that one person that is in tears because of their conversation. Yes.
Right. Like, I can't. They made a lifelong friend. They're like, you're my blood now. We better. Like, you know, so that happens. And I was like, yep, been there, seen that all the time. The last thing I do want to talk about, though, is the conversation that Molly and Issa do have. Okay, so they're texting back and forth. Molly, again, is checking in. Like, how's everything going? Issa's like, you know, I think Nathan's kind of over me because it looks like Risha has his attention because I seen them and they was doing the nasty on the beach. I don't care what y'all say. And so Molly just comes out and asks the question. Loved She's just it. Like, so y'all doing it or not? And Risha's response is like, girl, that's my brother. Now pause. What do y'all think? Because this is a hot topic as well, Mari. Yeah. The women that have the brothers that ain't they brothers, they be good friends with the men, but it be like they brother. And then sometime it don't be like they brother or they be doing stuff with they brother like character that they don't do with they actual brothers. Did you feel like this was her real play brother or was she just saying that because she's one of them girls that got the play brothers that be doing the play brother and stuff?
No, I think this is a real, it sounded like a real brother situation. I mean, she did not have to add, but I bet he good at it though. Like, she did not have to add that.
So do you have siblings that you think about that? Like, I thought they good at it though. Like,
no,
absolutely not.
No, especially since I do. I have a lot of guy friends, just by virtue of like college and stuff. So it's just like, It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't tell if this is the real play brother situation or the play brother situation. Cause sometimes the line be blurred, when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I feel like it's a situation where it could have been like they have fun one night. Right. And then it's like, they're never going down that route again. So now he's like a brother. Like, I don't think there's absolutely nothing that has ever happened with them. So
really,
look at Asia.
I really thought she was like. I feel like she said it kind of like not like he's
like, ew.
Like, yeah, she like, sounded young. Like Risha sounds very young. Like I don't know how old she is in relation to everybody else, but she sounds really young. Like ew, why? No, he's gross. Like, you know what I mean? He's a dork. I never thought of him like that. And so I love how she tells Molly, oh, you want me to hook you up? I can probably make that happen. And I was like, let's circle back.
Right. That's like your brother, but you don't realize that he dated the girl in the front seat while you offering him up to the girl in the back seat.
True.
Okay,
true.
Risha. But right. Yeah, I think that does bring us to our next ad break. We're going to just take a moment, let a word for our sponsor or two, and then we'll get back to the second half of the episode because we still got a lot to jump in and talk about. And so let's go ahead and get to that. We'll be back in just a moment.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. And we're back. And not only are we back, but it's Mike Jones playing, y'all. Did y'all hear Mike Jones playing in the episode? My Houston heart was screaming. I was like, yes. Oh, man. I was like, we got Mike Jones playing. We taking shots. I felt like I was at home. I was like, these are my people. But they get to the bar. I think they go to Sharky's or whatever. This is the after party spot because the beach got shut down. And we see that Johnny is already working on Molly. Arik is like, oh, that's my girl. But now Johnny is already there making his move. So we got the competition going there. Mike Jones is playing in the background. Mm-hmm. And then Nathan and Issa finally have a decent conversation, or at least try to, where it's not as awkward. So Issa goes in and apologizes for making things weird. But before she can even finish that sentence, she automatically just goes, and why did you leave me? What was that about? Because she expected him to be there when she woke up. And to Nathan's credit, he says, I didn't know we had expectations. And so this is one of those
to
things we talk about.
To Nathan's credit.
What I'm saying is, if he didn't know, he didn't know. But I did agree in the car that he might have been in a situation where he could have known a little bit.
Right.
So, you know, because, this is another moment where even as communication comes to play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I think it wasn't fair of him to say, I didn't know we had expectations of each other, because even as a friend, you know, your friend is hurt enough to be crying in your mouth. You could at least stay to console her, right? Like, if you had a, let's say you had a friend that y'all weren't even, like, it was a girl you were not romantically interested in, you were a friend, you would at least stay on the couch and make sure she's okay in the morning. Would you dip out?
No, I wouldn't leave her hanging. I definitely probably wouldn't have been in the bed cuddling with her either.
Right.
So she would have cried in my mouth. And so I think there are layers to that for sure.
True.
But yeah, there's no way that even if like, unless he thought they were nothing, right? We're not friends with benefits.
Right.
Then there's really no real reason why you should have felt good about leaving her hanging right there. But he does apologize. He apologizes for kissing her and making it, you know, and putting them in that position. So it looks like for a second, they're coming to good terms. But in walks his cousin.
I do want to point out, in the car, Nathan, when they left, he did get a call from his cousin. And Nathan's like, oh, sorry, like, we left, we're going to this bar. And I feel like that was the start of his cousin thinking, oh, this is just like the old Nathan. He tells me he's somewhere, and then he's not there because he up and left, didn't communicate it. When it just how happened, okay, it was an earthquake. They had to leave. But that was a little piece I didn't catch on the first time watching, but I caught on the second time. And I was like, okay, now I see how he kind of came in with his thoughts.
Yeah, and that's a good point. So his cousin shows up after, you know, thinking, like you said, thinking that the party was in one spot, but now here it is, classic Nathan, changing the plan at the last second. But his cousin shows up with his wife. I cannot remember her name. It's somewhere in my notes.
Velma.
Mm-hmm. That's why I couldn't remember it. I was like, she's 70 years old. But
I couldn't remember his name.
Thomas and Velma is some grandparent names, okay? Yeah. So Granny and Papa all show up. And this is Nathan's older cousin. And it seems like the relationship that they have is that, you know, this is his cousin that he used to kick it with type, but recently they've kind of fallen off. And we get into the reason why later on. But you can tell initially that they're having a good time kind of catching up. But there's some awkwardness between Nathan and Velma. So whenever Velma tries to make a joke or greets Nathan, it's very dry. He's giving her the same treatment he gives Issa in this episode, actually. You know, even when she makes the comment about, you know, a night with Nathan could have you ended up on the back of a milk carton, you know, he's not
like,
receiving.
Oh, that's too far.
Yeah, he's not receiving any of that because it's kind of accurate. You know, like we've seen him ghost on the short time we've had him. We've seen him disappear. Right. So, you know, them jokes that hit close to home are the worst ones, honestly. We find out also that they live in Lawndale, which is the same area that they're around this area. And so Issa's finding out stuff that she didn't even know about Nathan from before when he moved in with Andrew. And so, while all this bonding is happening, Mari, did you pick up on like the tension between the cousins and the wife?
Yeah, like I was about to say, be real. What did y'all think when they first rolled out that tension between him and the wife? I was like, did they?
Yeah. Y'all like brothers.
Did they hook up? Like, I was like real confused. Yeah. I was like, why is she coming with all this heat?
Right.
But, yeah.
But also, that's such good, like, I don't know if it's the acting, the editing or what, but it, like, I was like, wait a minute. Like, I agreed with everything she said, to be quite honest. But the way that they cut the music or the way that it was just delivered or the silence, something was so unsettling every time she like made a joke at him. It was real. Yeah. Like you could just feel it, which is like such good acting. Honestly, it really is.
Yeah.
But I low key thought they had smashed or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is this? What is this?
I didn't get when they walked in, he called him Prison Bay. And I was like, what? Then I remembered Prison Bay.
Yeah.
That light-skinned dude.
Yes. I was like, okay, like, the eyes.
7-year-old jokes? Like, what is this?
That's why it took me a minute.
That's why, because he ain't seen his cousin in 10 years. That's why he's still reaching back for old material. But yeah, the awkwardness is there. You can cut the tension with a knife. But luckily, there's stuff to talk about. So, of course, they talk about Texas stuff, which again, I'm at home talking about seeing Chamillionaire and Paul Wall at the mall and going to South by Southwest. This is the Texas conversation that I've been dying to have on this podcast. Issa even talking about how, you know, Paul Wall and Chamillionaire, they kind of motivated her to get a grill. We find out also that the grill didn't fit. We know Issa got some big teeth. And that was fun to discuss.
So she had to suck on it to keep it in.
Yeah, to keep it in. You got, hey, it happens, you know? So basically,
she got the flea market grill. She didn't get the authentic Houston, Texas, fitted to your mouth.
Ones be made in somebody's trunk at Sharpstown Mall parking lot. That's where the authentic ones be made. But if you got money, yeah, you can go inside a jewelry shop if you want to, or go see Johnny Dang or something. But yeah, catch somebody backseat and you'll be all right. But yeah, while they start joking about, you know, again, more jokes about Nathan being flaky and kind of disappearing, you know, Issa actually jumps into his defense when they're saying that he's like a light-skinned leaf that just be blowing in the wind. So, you know, we at least see that Issa can catch on that Nathan is not loving this interaction. She can kind of get that tension, you know, feel that tension as well. But all of this is interrupted by the invitation to the Jason Derulo party.
Jason Derulo.
Jason Derulo, aka dark skinned Chris Brown, is having a party. And our boy Mo is so excited. He is ready to go. I don't think I've ever seen anybody this excited to do anything with Jason Derulo ever.
I'm telling you.
He's ready to get there. And before they can go, you know, Molly's friend Johnny, who she's been flirting with this whole time, says, I'm sorry I can't come with y'all to the party because I gotta let my cat out. Mr. Jingles is waiting. And so Mari is kind of, Molly is kind of upset with the fact that, you know, he's worried about the wrong cat. What did you think about this, Mari?
Yeah, like it was so funny because Molly was like, oh, you're disqualified. And I'm just like, I was kind of pulling for Johnny after how Arik was talking about her in the back, talking about flipping her and dipping her and stuff.
He said he was going to shape her up. He's a barber. He said he's going to turn around and hit and give her a fade and hit her edges. He said fade the back. You know, don't do that. It was a barber shop reference.
So Molly was like, okay, well, Arik, with your size nines, I guess. Let's go.
She's on the prowl, Mark. Okay, wrong cat for you, but you know, maybe you would like to try Arik. And this is when we see Kelly and Risha in the background having their close talking breakthrough over crying tequilas and probably tequila. Taquitos and tequila. I've known people like this. I see the person like this. I'm never this person. I am never the person close talking you in the club because, oh my God, I met my soulmate and you just understand me and all this stuff.
Because you're seven.
And you are too. And
I am too. I'm never that person either.
Yeah. Wow. Not my ministry. Mari, you're outnumbered this time.
I'm doing one of two things. I'm either encouraging everybody to drink and just keep drinking, or I am the person that somebody is just unloading all their feelings onto. And I'm just like, yes. Okay, I guess.
And I love that for you. especially when people like Kelly and Risha are having a breakthrough. So Nathan's cousin Thomas agrees to go ahead with them to the Jason Derulo party. And Velma says she's going to sit this one out. Go ahead and go out with your cousin. Have a good time. You know, live your life. I'm a go home. And so this time we get more of the women's perspective and their, their ride to the venue. Molly is in the back seat talking about the meaning of Arik's interesting tattoo of choice. The Chinese symbol for good dick, I guess is what he said.
Yes.
I actually never want to perceive that tattoo ever.
There's no way.
Just whatever. They flirting hard in the back seat.
But hard.
Issa has lost it. She has finally said, you know what? I'm tired of this. And she sends Crenshaw a DM. And of course, like the tacky Crenshaw is, he screenshots it. Now he's got her up on the Summer Jam screen. He's blasting her on the internet. Koya's calling because he's like, girl, what are you doing? So, Asia, what did you think about all this? Should Issa have engaged with the troll?
Not at all. You don't give ammo. And she's thinking from her reasonable mind, like, okay, let me just talk this out with him privately because I don't want to do this public. I don't want to go back and forth publicly. Clearly, he's not on that level. He wants to demolish you publicly. And clearly. So it didn't even cross her mind. Of course, she's been drinking today. She's been having a good time. So it wasn't like that was top of mind. Like, let me second guess actually going through with this because this could be the outcome, right? And so I was just like, when I saw her send the DM, I was just like, oh, this isn't going to go well. Like, either he's going to pop
immediately.
Off. Yeah. I was like, either he's going to come back with some DMs that's going to ruin her night, or I didn't even think it happened so fast that I wasn't even there yet in my thought process. And he had already tweeted it. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And the way Issa tried to work her way out of that, like, oh, I was just feeling the song. She was like, oh, I don't know the words, but I love the song.
She tried to play it off. Molly, what'd you think?
It just makes me so sad because, again, like we were just saying in that second episode of So Great, it's so great to see Issa finally kind of excelling at what she does. And then for this Crenshaw thing to start happening, it's just very annoying because it's just like, sir, it all worked out to your benefit. Like, let's just go. Like, why are we dwelling on this? Why are you trying to bring her down? Like, nothing she did was immediately an attack on you. And then it's even harder because, you know, we know her point of view, somebody who's just so authentically herself and always tries to put on for her city, and for her going so hard to bat for him, and then to see it repaid like this, it's so frustrating as a viewer, which means we know why, you know, how Issa feels, because it's frustrating for her. Because honestly, she could have avoided all this and said, yeah, let's drop Crenshaw, let's go with whoever the other dude y'all wanted to go with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gotta hurt to have somebody named Crenshaw, you know, bashing you, because that is his name is a story of where he's come from, and they're mm-hmm. from the same area. Like, she loves her city, she loves that area, and she's always wanted to put them on. And so for this to be coming from Crenshaw specifically, yeah, you can tell it hurts. And so hopefully she's able to bounce back from this.
Did they say he was born somewhere else or something?
Like, yeah, in the burbs. She said he was born in the burbs anyway, because he was calling her fake. Issa fraud. And she's like, boy, you from the suburbs. Stop it.
Yeah.
You ain't a gangster. Yeah. Your real name is Clarence. Yeah.
Right. Her nose was bleeding.
Koya was so mad. She said, I'm so mad I'm leaking. I said, oh, yeah. Okay, Koya.
So you want me to handle this? I'm part of Beehive. I was like, yes. Come on.
Now she's going to get the hive to run down on them, you know.
I know.
The Beehive is scary. But anyway, when they get to the club, Ark is doing the thing that people do all the time where they say, oh, we can all get in. And then they get to the club and then they're like, okay, I can get in and I might be able to get one of y'all in, but all of us can't get in. And sadly, at least for Mo, it doesn't look like Mo is getting in. The place is at capacity and Ark has to pick one person to go with him. And to be fair, Molly has been putting in the work. She wins that spot inside to see Jason Derulo, and Mo is not happy. He's about to break down. Apparently, he started crying at some point.
Jason Derulo.
The saddest Jason Derulo ever, son. Yeah. But the rest of them who can't get in end up standing in line for an hour. And Nathan says, you know, like, I'm down to go back to Sharky's. But Molly finds a back door. We love Molly. We love this friend.
She always comes through sometimes. Sometimes.
Always, mostly, a lot. You know, right. We love the friend that's going to let you in the back, you know, at the party. Like, hey, just come on. I got a wristband. I'll slip it to you. We like that friend.
But hurry up because Jason is starting to do close-up magic.
And I didn't know that was a part of his set. I didn't know he does. Like, right. I was like, is that a song? Or is he actually a magician?
Yeah. Maybe he does it on TikTok. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like throwing doves in the air.
Right. Sleight of hand, you know. Yeah. So all that's happening. But so they're trying to get in. And Thomas is ready to go. It doesn't look like he's into the next spot. His lift is already on the way. Like, Thomas has already said, you know what? I'm finna dip. This is not for me. This is not my scene. I'm tired. Time to go. But Nathan's feeling insecure because he's thinking, oh, look, you think I'm going to ditch you again? You think I'm about to do the Nathan thing and disappear out into the club with Jason Derulo and all this other stuff? But it turns out that that's not the reason. Thomas is just tired. He says, this isn't really, you know, I'm getting old. It's not really my scene. I'm good here. But then Nathan starts to suspect, is this Velma? Did Velma do this? Like, I know she don't mess with me. Like, you don't have to lie. Like, come on, man. But contrary to the popular belief, Velma is supportive of this friendship. She wants the cousins to hang out. She wants them to be cool. And it was Thomas who initially kicked Nathan out of the house and left him for dead with nowhere to go. Yeah. And so Nathan is shook. He is shocked. He is not ready for this. And Mari, how did you feel about this revelation? Because I know your head was in one place when it started. How did you feel is this turn in the story, you know, landed for you?
Well, I mean, so I'm pretty sure I said on this podcast, I'm not the biggest fan of Nathan, mostly because he gives me nothing. He gives Issa nothing. I think, you know, when we see his cousin and his cousin's wife, and they just more reinforce the whole, like, he runs at every side of trouble. Like, for a person like me, like my Taurus self, my sixth self, like, I don't like flighty people. And that's why the Nathan character just does not resonate with me. And then on top of that, Issa has a type of flightiness to her. So them together, I'm just like, this is never gonna work. But when Nathan's cousin tells him, like, he basically said, he was like, he says, I was the one who wanted you out because, like, you showed up, out of, with no warning. You would leave for days on end, and you would come home in the middle of the night, and then he would forget to lock the door. So he said he didn't feel like his kids were safe. So, you know, as a parent, like, I completely understand that. Like, you, Nathan, from the cousin's point of view, Nathan was not being responsible while living with them. You know what I'm saying? So I agreed. I understood where the cousin was coming from. I'm glad that they were able to talk this portion out. And, you know, we can definitely, you know, get into it when Nathan tells Issa. But my initial reaction was like, Nathan is who I thought he was.
See, what about you, Asia?
So, like I said, I'm Team Issa. But if I had to, you know, pick a side between Nathan and Lawrence, I'm like tipping the scale over to Nathan a little bit. So from the cousin's perspective, he's the older cousin, right?
I think so.
Okay. You have
acting like it.
Yes. You like married, has kids. This is my issue with him. Even without understanding what Nathan was going through at the time, you're coming at me because I was being irresponsible. Yes, that may have been true, but don't be hypocritical because you did not voice what the issue was. You mm-hmm. did not explain to me at the time that you had a problem with that. You allowed me to believe for a couple of years at least mm-hmm. that this was your wife's fault. Like, how is that the most appropriate response for you kicking me out, having nowhere to go? You're blaming it on your wife. Your wife is okay with that. And you mm-hmm. think, oh yeah, that's cool. We can, you know, continue on as if that never happened. And it's like, of yes, there is Nathan's whole side of it. But I think that the cousin, Thomas, handled this terribly because if you, even as a responsible parent, and you know, I can't speak like a parent, just a dog mom, but as a responsible parent, you are responsible for being able to, I guess, voice your concerns with someone that's a problem rather than just kicking them out. He wouldn't want, like, this is family, right? This isn't just some mm-hmm. stranger off the street. This isn't just some guy from college that your kids will never interact with again. This is family. So it's like, I don't think he represented the situation or handled the situation in a way that would have been modeled behavior that he would want his kids to see. And I know it's probably, I'm thinking deeper than it because maybe his kids just never, they're just not, oh, cousin Nathan's not staying with us anymore. Oh, well, you know, mm-hmm. and moving mm-hmm. on. They don't know the root of it. But I just think, If he didn't want Nathan out of his life for the rest of his life, he should have confronted that head on, and he should not be. And there's conversation too on social media just about, you know, growth and how people can grow. And mm-hmm. that's why you have to be careful going back to people who knew you at a certain point, because they're if they didn't see that growth, they're going to bring you back to that place and refer mm-hmm. to you and see you in a state that you're no longer in. And it's hurtful. It's damaging. It's damaging to your growth. It's damaging to Nathan's growth because he's being taken back to a place of like, no, like he doesn't understand. I have grown. I'm in a different mm-hmm. place now. And he's thinking I'm that old guy. I mean, that happens all the time. I mean, I'm sure we can run into people we knew from college that like knew us at a certain point. And I'm like, that was 10 years ago. We have moved on.
Shout out to Bao on Married at First Sight.
Yes, exactly.
I agree with that. I do agree that Thomas did not handle it correctly. Like mm-hmm. lying on your wife is very cowardly. But like I said, I do see why he would not want Nathan like in his home. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think it's one of those things where anytime you're dealing with family, it gets complicated and people don't know how mm-hmm. to voice those things without, you know, causing a rift and all this mm-hmm. other stuff. So, yeah, Thomas is not without blame as far as the way he handled it. Yeah. And then, of course, if Nathan was being erratic, which we know he was, we'll talk about that in just a second, mm-hmm. then we understand why Thomas would do it. But at some point, you got to be an adult and just kind of face those conversations head on. You can't just tiptoe around them and you can't blame your wife. And shout out to Velma for taking that L for him because, you know, like, no, seriously. Like,
she suggested it.
Right.
Yeah, but she was like, mm-hmm. I'll be the bad guy since you can't mm-hmm. do it. And, you know, and that does make her look bad in Nathan's eyes. And he probably been bad mouthing her to whoever listened, like, oh, yeah, I had a good situation. And my cousin wife, he threw me out and all this other stuff. But she's carrying the brunt of that for her husband. And so I think, you know, at least from their relationship standpoint, I think, you know, that's commendable. But he's got to step up and have those conversations before they end up in situations like this. But he ends up going, you know, driving off. He gets in his Lyft and leaves Nathan standing there with this bomb just dropped on him. Of course, Nathan doesn't initially feel comfortable talking about this with Issa. So he kind of walks off to himself to have his moment. But Issa follows him like a friend should do, I'm assuming. and so she goes after him. And that's when he reveals that during the time that he was living with Thomas, he was manic. We know that he is bipolar or has bipolar disorder, I mean. And so he does have phases where he is manic, and he's gotten his life together since that time. And like Asia was saying, he doesn't want to still be looked at as the flighty Nathan that like disappears. And, you know, he doesn't want them holding him like to that old personality because he feels like he has grown. Now, I don't know how true that is, because we have seen with our own eyes him ghost Issa. And so maybe he just has moments, you know, like with being bipolar, you have your ups, you have your downs. Maybe he was in a down, you know, or maybe when he met Issa, he was manic. I mean, the things they were doing, the sex on the Ferris wheel at the Coachella after the second time y'all meeting, probably they were naked the first time they met, you know, in the pool. Like the second time they met, I think they were in the pool, skinny dipping in her old backyard that somebody's house they live in. And, you know, Issa don't really have no excuse. But right. Nathan could definitely say, you know, he was going through some stuff at the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is a very important conversation that they're having. But I think at this point, this is where she and Nathan are able to kind of find some common ground where they both can see what each other have been going through. They both don't want to be defined by their old actions. They want to be able to move into something new. And so I enjoyed this conversation. Asia, what did you think about Issa and Nathan and this like wrap up to the episode when they're standing there talking about this new revelation that they had?
I thought it was so overdue. I think for two people to be friends for this long, and this is like their first time really opening up, I think that should show them that they have lacked a depth, even to just a normal friendship. If this is going to be, you know, not just somebody you hang out with when, you know, oh, group of friends are getting together, but this is a true, genuine friend. Like she's trying to see him as like a close friend up until this point. Then y'all need to get deeper than that. Issa, you have a lot going on. Okay. Nathan does as well. And y'all are more than, oh, it's 74 degrees outside, you know? So I was so glad that this was finally happening. It sucks that it took Nathan being in this vulnerable place to open up to Issa, but at least it opened the door. But were y'all like me when she said, I don't want to just be friends anymore? And he responds, I don't want to be friends either. Did y'all think that they were on the same page? Like, I felt I initially felt that his energy was the opposite. Issa. Yes. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Issa.
Yeah. No, you know what? No, that's fair. Because I heard the same thing. You know, like she said, I don't want to be just friends. And he said, I don't want to be friends.
Yeah.
And so you know, like, what's happening here? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm with you on that one, Asia. Mari, what did you think about this exchange?
This last exchange, it's so rough, okay? Right? Because I have a few, it's a little rough for me because first off, we find out, like you said, he found out later that he was manic when he lived with them. He didn't get his bipolar disorder diagnosis until after he had been with Issa, after they had met, after the Ferris wheel, and then he just ghosted her, you know what I'm saying? And then he got the diagnosis. And I get that, but if he's managing his bipolar disorder right now, again, what was his excuse for a week ago? Like when he got up and left her in the middle of the night, like
immaturity.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't understand, like, what can we put on his mental health and then what can we be like, man, that's just kind of you though. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, because yeah. I don't want to be disrespectful. That's the last thing I want to do when it comes to mental health issues. But half of me is like, it feels like he's falling back on that more than anything. But, you know, you can never say, because he's only had this diagnosis for, it's been what, a year now, technically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he didn't know back then what he didn't know. So, but to me, I just kind of think that he just has always given off flighty. Like we said, he's never revealed anything deep. He's always been surface level. And I just don't trust people like that. And I just have never really, got his character. And then on top of that, so he said like, oh, he got diagnosed. He was kicked out. He found out his diagnosis, but he hasn't talked to them since he left their house. So you ghosted your cousin too. It's been years and you ghosted your cousin too. So it's just like, okay, even if you leaving it, you needed to leave, you know, to find yourself and stuff like that. But what is the reason why you haven't texted since? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess he wanted to wait until he got everything together and then show them. But then he ended by saying, F it, you can't change how people see you. So I'm just like, I'm just all over the place with Nathan. And I don't trust him. I just don't. I don't trust like, him
just
not
to. Right with you.
Yeah, it doesn't. Like, I don't trust him not to leave again. And again, with Issa as well, like, why would you... Issa admits her feelings for Nathan, right? Mm-hmm. But why, if Nathan wants better for himself, would he want to fall back into that trap? Like, she was literally just crying into your mouth a week ago about another dude, and she even admitted it to you throughout this day. So why would you kind of want to fall back into that, you know, if you still feel like she might not be, you know, ready. And again, this is where I then bridge the gap to why I kind of want Issa to be by herself, because it also seems that she's stressed out from this Crenshaw situation. So whenever she's stressed out, she always finds relief in somebody else. And mm-hmm. she admitted it here. She admitted to being overwhelmed. And that she's always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Girl, hallelujah. I understand that. I really do.
Big face.
Yeah. And she's afraid to get her hopes up. And that's why she was so afraid to admit that she didn't want to be friends with Nathan. But I just, something about it, and I think we talked about it in maybe the preview episode, but something about it seems like Issa's constantly trying to find comfort in men's arms. And I want better for her, and I want better for him, because you can still not convince me that once Lawrence moves back to LA, something's not going to happen. Like, I don't know. That's just me. And sorry, that was my soapbox. I have put it away for the night.
No. I think it's fine. And I think you did bring up a few points. But, you know, I'll be kind to Nathan here. I'm not the biggest Nathan fan either. I'm Team Lawrence. But when it comes to Nathan in this moment, you know, I think that when his cousin kicks him out and is like, hey, your wife says you got to go type thing, I can see why he wouldn't initially just want to reach out and talk to them about that. You know, like mm-hmm. hey, you kind of, he probably felt abandoned. And so he never really just wanted to go back down that well until he was ready to show, like, look at me now. You know, like, mm-hmm. we know that feeling of, like, you wanted to impress somebody or be like, you know, you thought I couldn't do this, or, you know, I want to show you that I'm better than whatever you think I am. And so I think there was a lot of that in that. But, you know, also Issa does admit to him that she wasn't crying about him. And I think in mm-hmm. the moment where she was crying in his mouth, he might have felt like she was, you know, like he had ghosted her. They had those moments. And so when he felt like she was crying because of him, I probably would have left too. And I am flighty. I am very flighty, but I could see where he's coming from when it comes to that. What about you, Asia?
Yeah. So I watched the wind down after, and it seems like the way that Issa was talking about her and Nathan's relationship, it made it seem like they are still exploring what that is. It wasn't like mm-hmm. them saying, oh, I don't want to be friends anymore. It was like, okay, now we're boyfriend, girlfriend. It was more like, okay, we have an understanding that we're interested in each other. Now let's see what happens. Can we get there? Because she was mm-hmm. saying, it seemed like an uncertain thing. Whereas I ended the episode thinking, oh, now they're together.
Right.
the way that Issa was talking made it seem like, okay, now we're going to explore if that's something that they want to do. So I'm interested to see kind of where they are on the next episode. Mm-hmm. But I totally see your point about Nathan. I think I'm so deep into, like, mental health TikTok that I think, based on what I've learned so far, I think that Nathan is still so early in his bipolar disorder diagnosis that right. he's still figuring out himself. I don't think he mm-hmm. fully knows himself. I don't think he knows, like, thinking back on his past, like, what was manic? What was me? Even in the present day, is this something I'm doing because of the diagnosis? Or is this something I'm doing just because that's my natural behavior? Mm-hmm. So the fact that he's still figuring himself out doesn't help in the social situations, because it's him trying, like, he has to explain why he does something and he's still trying to figure it out himself. So it's like, the best he can do is, the taco trucks are about to close. Like, I had to go, you know? So that's why I kind of, like, am not as hard on Nathan, because I just feel like he's still discovering himself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Fair point.
And that's fair. Yeah. And so, you know, that pretty much wrapped up the episode. We talked about Nathan and Issa's relationship. We talked about Molly and Issa's relationship too. But at the beginning of the podcast, Mari did hint that there's been some conversation online about a dark turn for Kelly. So, Mari, what do you speculate is going to happen with the Kelly story? Because she's been on this emotional journey. She's mm-hmm. been on this journey for enlightenment. What do we think is going to happen to everyone's favorite character?
Yeah, like, it's really, people on the internet have, like, have been like, wow, Kelly is really crying out for help, and, like, nobody is paying attention to her. Like, we definitely touched on it in that first episode, where it just seems like nobody was listening to her and making it a joke when they thought she was dead. This episode, she had so many little moments talking about her enlightenment, crying and breaking down with Risha, like, bringing up her podcast and having so many questions, and then talking about mortality and stuff like that, that a lot of people are speculating. They're wondering if it's going to take, like, a dark turn, and maybe Kelly has suicidal ideations or something like that. Yeah, like, really dark. So I'm like, I don't know, because we talked about this in the one of the first episodes, but we've not had a character death on this show.
Yeah.
Now, do I think it would be something to that effect? Like, I don't know. But, I mean, we did get the scenes from next week with Molly's family, it looks like. So,
seems like knows? The only one I didn't see was her mom. That was my speculation.
Exactly.
Well, we don't see her mom and we don't see Kelly. And so there's very good real way they could have shoehorned that into the conversation as well. Just because it's Molly's people doesn't mean Kelly's not involved. And so, yeah, but I'd be interested to know if that, you know, is ominous as well.
Right. Because this is my first time hearing of this. So, like, if it is Molly's mom next week, it could be Kelly's response to it that could further lead to something happening later in the season. And it could be that there's been so many moments, especially this episode, where Kelly is talking and they're not paying attention. And so it's like there have been signs throughout, you know, like, she's speaking, you're not listening. But oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to look into that. I had no idea people were talking about that.
Yeah, exactly. And but the funny thing is, if it does end up being Molly's mom, one of the scenes from the season I remember is Molly sitting down with her mom and her dad and an estate planner lawyer. Right. So
they talked about, like, the will, they talked about the estate. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, if that's, then that's kind of spoiled for us. So, you know, I'm kind of, I'd be not worried there. It is dark, and it's one of those things that if we do get something to that effect, we're all going to be watching this season over again, looking for the signs, you know.
I was texting you about my little conspiracy from last week about Tiffany. Oh, yeah. And them not being at Tiffany's birthday party, and then she also wasn't here, which I know Tiffany's absent. Like, I know she's not there at every function because, I mean, people say because she's a mom, but moms don't miss out on everything. Moms don't miss out on everything. And I'm just concerned. I don't know. Maybe I've missed it, but I just feel like now that we've moved a year in advance, I haven't seen Molly or Issa reference Tiffany. And I'm like, are they, I could be reading too much into, this is my own little conspiracy. I've seen nothing else about this, but yeah. I personally am like, are they still friends? Like, did something happen? Cause I was about to call her Natasha. Kelly, like, I just know her like that.
Natasha.
Kelly is that type of friend that will be friends with everybody. Like, it's not like, okay, you know, even if the things are off, even if things are off in the friend group, she's not going to be one to. So I'm just wondering, because even though she was at the birthday party, I'm like, is something going on with them?
That's interesting. That's a good point. Yeah,
it is.
Ever since, because you're right. Ever since, like, the last time we saw them with Tiffany was at the Stanford thing, and then the year.
Yeah,
well, I mean, it's something to think about. But I will say this, and then I wrap up. this show, for it to be 30 minutes long, it always has a lot of thought provoking conversations. It leads to a lot of like speculation about what's going on. But I tend to lean on the happy side of things a lot of times. And so I'd like to perceive that this is going to turn out for our girl Kelly and even Molly's whole family. We'll have to see next week what's going on with that. The stuff with Tiffany as well. In the past, we have seen people speculate about this show so much. Why aren't they using, are they using condoms? What if somebody gets pregnant? Where, who is this? What's happening with Derek? Is he cheating on Tiffany? What did they had a breakup? He was living in a hotel. Is she at postpartum? Are they going to address that? Like, a lot of things Insecure just touches on and then they never touch it. And so we could be speculating about something that five episodes from now, doesn't even matter. And so I perceive that it's going to end up okay, but we have to wait and see. And so before we wrap up, Asia, one thing we like to do on the podcast is talk about the music corner, because Latanya thought it'd be a good idea to highlight the iconic soundtrack. And so, you know, of course, this season is no different. The songs have been amazing. The artists have been amazing. We had Dial Tone by Phony People, Show Me Something by Renny Rucci, Can't Believe It by Matt Martians, which I love that song. I played it like three times. We Outside by Deli. Saweetie's song, Get It Girl. I'd never heard that song, but Saweetie don't miss. She makes hits. I don't know how good of a rapper she is, but she don't miss when it comes to songs. Sensitive by Serena Isioma. What is it? Mango by Kamau and Adeline. And then, of course, Back Then by Mike Jones. The Mike Jones. Mike Jones.
281-330-8004.
Yes. And so, I have to highlight my guy, Mike Jones, from Houston, Texas. Swisher House Records. Still dipping Mike Jones, you know.
Yeah.
The phone number, Mike Jones. On the back of the t-shirts, Mike Jones. I mean, from Who Is Mike Jones to The Voice. I mean, hits after hits. Back Then, They Didn't Want Me. Drop and Give Me 50. Just all the songs, Mike Jones takes me back into a time and place. And so I loved seeing him. And so that was my highlight for the music corner this time. But check out all these artists, support them, download the podcast. I'm sorry, the Spotify playlist for all the songs, and, you know, follow along with the season as we're introduced to a lot of new artists and some of the old ones as well, like the Mike Jones. And so that's about it. Before we wrap it up, Asia, I guess, you got to tell us, where can we find you? I have to thank you so much for coming on and talking to me and Mari and stepping in for Latanya. Like, those are big shoes to fill, and I think you handled it. Size 9 or up.
I'm personally a size 10, and I'm not rounding. I personally think I grew up playing basketball, and I've been a 10 since like seventh grade, and then I just stopped growing. So, because like the fact that I'm like 5'4" and size, it doesn't make sense.
La Cienega feet.
Exactly. That is not the first time I've heard that. So, yes, you can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. So AYSHA like ASIA. I'm podcasting every week about Married at First Sight. If you've never seen it, come check out the podcast over. We have our own feed now, Married at First Sight Wrap Ups. And you don't even need to watch the show. You can spare yourself the 2 hours every week and you can listen to us talk about it. We had Mari join us last week. So we had a great time talking about Decision Day. And then we have the reunion this week and next week, part one and two to talk about. So definitely come give it a listen. If you like drama and reality TV, then you would love this. So definitely come give it a listen. And then I'll also be joining Rob on the Survivor Q&A. Next week. Ooh, so definitely come check that out if you're a Survivor fan. But thank y'all so much for having me. I had a blast. I love the show. I love y'all. So I am more than happy to be hanging out with y'all.
Thank you so much for coming. And Asia, yeah, I feel like the Venn diagram of people who watch Married at First Sight and Insecure, it touches. Like, I feel like this is your audience. They need to know. So check out the Married at First Sight podcast with Asia. And of course, check out this week's episode with Mari, because, I mean, look at them.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Name a better duo.
Us together.
Right.
And so, Mari, of course, could you let the people know what you're up to and where can they find you?
Yes, of course. Every week you can find me on the Wrestling Wrap Up as me and the great Matt Scott. We cover the highlights of wrestling of the week. So just like Married at First Sight, you don't even have to watch all those hours of wrestling. Just come and listen to me and Matt and normally a really great guest talk about the wild, wonderful world of wrestling. And you can find us in the Rob Has a Podcast Reality TV Wrap Up feed, or we have our very own Wrestling Wrap Up feed. Just type that in your search and you can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. Like Asia said, I love being on Married at First Sight with her and Amy. I love, like, we love having Asia on here. I like being wherever Asia is. So just sign me
drop
up.
Us everywhere.
Yeah. And then me and Matt were also on the Bachelorette podcast, last week. If you like the Bachelorette franchise, Amy and Haley do a great job covering it. And me and Matt were on there, talking all things Michelle season. So that was fun. And just look for that at the Reality, Wrap Up feed. What else? I feel like I did something else, but it's fine.
busy lady.
All right. But that's it. And you can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two.
Yes. Thank you, Mari. And of course, if you are looking for more Chappelle content, I am everywhere as usual. And so every week, still covering Never Have I Ever on Silent Podcast. This week, our guest is Kirsten McInnes. So check that out. Also on Post Show Recaps, aside from doing this show, I'm still talking about the Walking Dead franchise. So The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, and The Walking Dead World Beyond. Basically, I'll be talking about zombies until I'm a zombie. But check that out. If you don't have enough zombie content in your life, I'm serving it up every week with Josh Wiggler, Jessica Lise, and AJ Mass. This week, I also guest starred on the 90 Day Fiancé podcast, 90 Day the Other Way with Puya Zamkeely. And it was awesome. I love 90 Day Fiancé. I haven't gotten to Married at First Sight yet, but the people on 90 Day Fiancé make me so angry.
Yes.
And so I got to go on there and vent with Puya about that. And then on Rob Has a Podcast, my own show, Nothing But Netflix, with Rob Sesternino and I, we had Puya on as our guest to talk about Red Notice, the number one show on Netflix this week.
I watched that this weekend. I loved it. I was not expecting to.
It was a mess and it was fun and we had the time of our lives talking about it. So check out Red Notice on Netflix, but also check out Nothing But Netflix on Rob Has a Podcast and subscribe, like all that good stuff as well. And then of course this week, I'm also guesting on the Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast, the pretty, pretty good podcast with Alexander Chester and Mr. Ostininski. And so I'm a lot of places this week. I'm a very busy man, but I'm definitely enjoying every second I get to podcast with Mari and Asia and all the rest of these people. And so check that out. Follow me on Twitter at Chappelle_show. Chappelle_show to keep up with all of my shenanigans and all the places where I'm doing podcasts. If you need more podcast content, of course, you can join the Post Show Recap Patreon. We're keeping it simple. The main thing to do is just to go on postshowrecaps.com and subscribe. Go to the Patreon, postshowrecaps.com, patreon.com/postshowrecaps.com, and you can join at any level. There's a ton of perks. There's a ton of more content. You get to hang out in the Discord. You get to talk to us probably. You can definitely interact with me. I'm in the Discord sometimes. But yeah, if you want more content, you can't get enough of Post Show Recaps, check us out there, subscribe to the Patreon, and support the podcast however you see fit. And as far as housekeeping, that's about it. So for Mari and Asia, I just want to say, see y'all next week. And LaTanya, we look forward to having you back. Bye.
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 With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Transport yourself back in time and explore the fascinating and harrowing story of the Titanic's maiden voyage. Now open at Cosi. Don't miss Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition. This epic exhibit features over 200 authentic artifacts recovered from the ocean floor. Discover poignant passenger and crew accounts and majestic recreated interiors, including the iconic Titanic Grand Staircase. Tickets for Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition are on sale now. Book your voyage at Cosi.org.